We've decided to wake her up at a different time of the morning, and she's Soka Sibiya. She's the news editor at Africa.com, and today we take a look at the African continent and scoop out all the positive moments for this past year, as well as look into some technology that has made the sort of target during the year of 2019. I have with me the news editor at Africa.com and at Soka Sibiya. Good morning, Soka.
Good morning to your listeners.
You're very much in the African continent, and I keep on tagging you in quite a number of things when it comes to very positive stories coming out of the African continent. What has happened over the past year in Africa, and what are the most sort of memorable highlights during the course of this year?
So a lot has happened in different fronts. I think one of the big business deals that happened this year was the fact that the African countries, all of us, we signed the Free African Trade Deal. And what this means is that African countries now want to start trading amongst ourselves, make it easier for a product that's made in Rwanda to be accessible in South Africa, for example. I think one of the biggest deals that we've seen is with the Mara phones, which is a phone that is made in Rwanda, but there is now a firm in Durban, for example, that is going to be making the phone as well for the South African consumer. So we want to be able to transport goods from South Africa to Malawi easier without having the trade backlogs, having to sit at the border trying to get through to another country, which actually becomes very expensive. And this is why you find that many African countries instead trade with Europe and other continents, whereas trading amongst each other becomes very difficult. And this is what this deal aims to make. Another thing that we've seen this year was, for example, a regime change in Sudan. So after 32 years of being in power, Omar al-Bashir was toppled this year. And it was all because of, you know, I think at some point people get squeezed to the point where they can't take it anymore. And when the protest started, it started with the bread price, but it kept growing and other issues came into play. And what we also saw with that regime change was that the voice of women was recognized as well. So in a country where women, you know, really did not play much of a role or were always in the background, we saw them in the forefront this time around. One of the greatest moments in Sudan was a woman who was standing on top of her car and basically, you know, just talking to the protesters instead of in terms of what the demands are. And this is what captured many, many people, especially international media, in terms of what is happening in Sudan. But again, it's, I think for me, what's happened this year is that it's the culmination of Africans coming up with their own solutions for their own problems. It's not that we've not seen what's been going on, but we've sometimes the solutions that are applied elsewhere don't work for us. And I think in this past 10 years, or for example, I can say that many of the solutions that we've seen or the highlights is us coming up with our own solution and then applying it to the problems that we've had.
You know, music and movies has always been very, very big on the African continent. And Nollywood seems to be going in a particular direction, like Bollywood and Hollywood in any case. What were the sort of the high moments for this year in terms of movies as well as in terms of music for the African continent? Because I think we've actually had so many concerts on the African continent where we've got African artists and people are realizing that they need to be supporting African, South African artists a lot more than the overseas artists where you have to pay 800 to 1,000 rand just to get a ticket.
Yes, I think Africans are coming into their own. We are realizing our power and our value. And as I say, you know, it's taken a while, but what you're seeing with what you're talking about, the two industries that you're speaking of, for example, a movie in Kenya called Rafiki, which really caused a lot of stir because it was about a lesbian couple. And in Kenya, for example, homosexuality is, in lots of parts of Africa, actually, homosexuality is still a very taboo topic. You know, it's still very criminalized in many parts of the continent. But this movie, made by a Kenyan director, played by Kenyans, actually made it to Cannes. You know, it missed the Oscars because it wasn't regulated in its own country. This is why it couldn't make it. But it just started opening up the industry in terms of telling stories, African stories by Africans themselves. So it's not somebody coming from outside telling our story. I know there was a big You know, there was a big fanfare about Black Panther, but that is still not our story. Our stories are Rafiki, for example, the queen of, it's about a young Ugandan girl who plays chess. That's the stories that we told that's about us. There's now a movie that's coming on about a gentleman who started a wind farm in Malawi and made sure that, you know, people back in his home would have access to electricity. So those are the stories that we're trying to tell about each other. Genevieve Nandi from Nollywood, her movie was nominated in the Oscars, but because of the English language, it was just too much English. It didn't make the cut into the foreign category. But what we're saying is that, you know, even the quality is getting better. We're getting confident in our skills. And this is how you even see it in music, playing it out in music. Everybody wants the African sound. Afrobeats has taken over the world by storm. If you think about Beyonce's album with regards to The Lion King, most of it was produced by African producers. Our very own Anati from South Africa actually won an award because of the brown skin girl that he wrote for Beyonce that also features Wizkid. The whole album is basically African stars showcasing what we have, and this is the appetite that's going across the whole world in terms of, you know, we are speaking our music, we're making our content, and we're making it fashionable for ourselves. And this is because we are the first people that started consuming it. And as we move into the rest of the world, we actually take our own identity, and then people start noticing as well.
Chatting to Soka Sabir this morning, the editor at Africa.com, and we're chatting music and videos and all the positive things coming out of the African continent. Which countries experience good economic growth on the African continent? I know that Nigeria, with just close to 200 million people, has got a very vibrant economy, and we have one ourselves. But I believe that Tanzania recently has also stepped up to the plate and started overtaking us in many sectors.
So what's ironic about that is that the three biggest economies in Africa is South Africa, Nigeria, and Egypt. But none of those three actually made the top 10 fastest growing economies on the continent, according to the IMF stats. The countries that led were the same that led last year, which was Ethiopia, Rwanda, Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, Senegal, Benin, Kenya, Uganda, and Burkina Faso. And the reason for this is that in terms of growth, is these countries have all taken a shift in terms of what they are selling or where they are in making the investments. And one of the big things they've done is that they've really consolidated the efforts into manufacturing, into agriculture, and tourism, because those are the new frontiers. You know, commodities are still a very big thing, but the appetite for them is not as much as it used to be. And what you're finding, for example, with Ghana, they have set 2019 as the year of return. So you're finding celebrities all over the United States tracing back their roots to Ghana, and they're all flying to Ghana. They are now, Afrochella is about to happen now. I think probably happened in December. And this was just a draw card, because it's like the Coachella that happens in the US, but it's African artists. They've been given citizenship, for example, for people who actually want to become citizens of Ghana. And this is what's promoting the travel and tourism to that country. People want to trace their roots. People want to find out who they are. I think a lot of Black Americans in the US feel lost at some point. And, you know, when you have a country that says, you know what, we can show you where you come from, and if you feel that we resonate with you, you can actually become a part of our country, they are taking it up, because that's, as we said, the appetite to be African is there all of a sudden. Rwanda has done tourism in terms of, if you look at sports, they are partnering with different EPL clubs in terms of their shirts and jerseys. They've got slogans that say Visit Rwanda, and this has actually boosted tourism to Rwanda, besides the fact that they've been investing in things like renewables, into green technologies, into smart cities. But tourism has been one of the biggest factors, and this is just by showing the branding on sports channels, because people love watching sports. Ghana and Cote d'Ivoire also signed a deal with regards to making cocoa production. They've collaborated in setting the price, and this has also boosted the economies in terms of doing that as well.
Coming up to 18 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, Sokus Beer, the news editor at Africa.com. A number of people are actually coming to Africa for health and for, you know, sort of recuperation rather than running away to France and where most of the other politicians go. And some of these politicians are actually realizing that Africa has got a lot better in terms of healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Medical tourism is a big thing. Morocco is one of the leaders in that, as well as South Africa. And that's because we give you the whole package. How we have packaged medical tourism is that you come, you get your surgery or your operation, but packaged in that deal is the tourism aspect of it. So whilst you recuperate, you get to learn a different culture, you get to be exposed to different people, and this is what's also become the draw card. So when people nowadays go on safari or an extended safari, it's because they are incorporating the medical side of it and the relaxation and healing part of it as well, in terms of the whole visit. It's still the African leaders, especially the ones who still run to other countries for medical reasons, but more and more people are actually finding that a holistic type of wellness is what's attractive these days. It's not just being in a hospital and getting out, but it's actually getting fresh air, you know, being one with nature. And this is what Africa provides. We are very big in terms of nature. So it just makes sense to couple it with the healing aspect of it as well.
Mm. Chatting to Sokus Beer, the news editor at Africa.com, and talking about the positive stories that's actually come out of Africa. We've seen a change in terms of women and the place of women in terms of society in Sudan. But what does it look like over the rest of the continent? Are women gaining their prominence? Are we still possibly putting them on the back foot and not giving them the fair share and the sort of equal share that they need?
Well, more and more women are actually being recognized, and this is not just for, you know, a TikTok exercise. More and more capable women are actually being recognized. I know the first ladies of Africa have been meeting when there's the usual summit that happens in Ethiopia, for example, with regards to the African Union. On the sidelines, the first ladies of Africa will also have their own session in terms of how do we make sure that the right women are put in the correct places, because you also don't want to window dress. Rwanda is still leading in terms of parliament. They've got more than 60% of women who are part of their lawmakers. More and more countries are actually, Ethiopia, for example, has the president of Ethiopia is female. The chief justice is female. South Africa's also got a good track record in terms of that. But even business leaders. So when you look at the lists from like New Africa Business Magazine in terms of who are the business leaders, more and more women are actually in those rankings. They are coming up. And these are not deals that are linked to your family being in power, and this is why you now have the wealth. But these are women who have actually started from the ground up and built their wealth properly. And this is what needs to be highlighted, that it's no longer the corrupt or the window dressing that's happening, but you're seeing women who are capable, who are qualified, and who deserve to be in those positions actually being given those positions.
Mm. And women entrepreneurs on the African continent, there are definitely some of them who've made major inroads in terms of fashion and in terms of other sort of aspects of business.
Exactly. So the one I can think of at the top of my head is a lady in Ethiopia who makes shoes. And what she has done is that she has actually brought back an ancient culture, a tradition in Ethiopia where they used to make their own leather and actually use that to make shoes. So she has now started a value chain. It's no longer just about the design and the aesthetics, but she's actually creating a value chain in terms of bringing back the way things were done. So she has a factory where they use Ethiopian cows, the leather, the artisans are all Ethiopian, and that's the value chain that she has created. I just forget her name right now, but I know her shoes are big in Germany, for example, in Europe, because of that whole value chain. So more and more, you're finding that women are coming in, and even in the informal economy. So when you think about vendors, I think we don't talk about the informal economy enough, but this is what many women actually get their money from. The business. Women World Banking always looks at how can we fund women who are on the grassroots, because when you give them access to have financial solutions, they're able to grow their companies more. So even the African Development Bank has actually made inroads in saying that more money needs to go into empowering women who are in the informal economy, who are vendors, who are using, who are on the street and actually the ones selling and don't have access to financial institutions. They should actually have access to capital to grow their businesses further.
We seem to be having quite a bit of a problematic situation in Zimbabwe. How is this affecting the rest of the continent, and especially the countries surrounded by Zimbabwe? This must definitely have a very big effect, because, I mean, I'm looking at a number of things that happened at the Methodist Church in terms of refugees in this country. And the problem with Africa is that its refugee problem is within the continent itself.
Yes, you know, with what's happening in Zimbabwe, I think it's all a political will. About it, you know, the it's so complex in terms of who is supposed to meet, who is supposed to make that decision. But how the effects go is that whatever the leaders don't do, it trickles down to the men on the street. And when you look at what you're saying in terms of refugee policy, this could be curbed, because Uganda has actually the most refugees in the world, and they've created a system whereby refugees from the DRC, for example, who are in Uganda, actually get access to land where they are able to farm, for example, to work, to actually apply their trade. So whatever they do whilst at the refugee camp not only benefits the country in terms of tax and other collectibles that they need to get, but it also gives them an opportunity to still be working. What should be done across the continent in terms of where refugees are is to come up with a system that makes it viable. Dadaab is one of the biggest refugee camps on the continent and is situated in Kenya, and they actually have a total economy. So, you know, people run businesses there. You know, they've got cash transactions. There are actually companies and NGOs who come in and mentor and give classes in terms of how do you make these people, how do you make refugees actually, more viable in terms of contributing to the economy so that they are not seen as a threat. I think this is why you have so many clashes, that locals see refugees as a threat when there actually should be room for collaboration, because this is where you can share skills, knowledge, and other interests in terms of how do you gain new market or new demand or actually learn a different skill. And this is, I think, this is what's missing in terms of what should be happening with many refugees that have come from countries that are troubled, who are in South Africa, for example.
What were the new discoveries that came out of Africa the past year? And we're chatting to Circa Sabir, the news editor at Africa.com. All the nice and positive things coming out of the African continent. The new discoveries for this year?
Well, you know, we know that Egypt is always a discovery. What they've actually done this year is that they are building the Cairo Museum, which will basically be a museum about King Tutankhamun. So his statues, everything that they found will basically be in this new museum. And this is what will also be a new draw card to Egypt. So besides seeing the pyramids and other museums, this specific museum, which is a world-class design, is one of the draw cards. But another story that's come up recently is how archaeologists found remains of an ancient civilization in East Africa. The settlement is called Beta Samuti and was basically part of North Ethiopia around 650 AD. And it's believed to contain one of the oldest churches in sub-Saharan Africa. And this is where people actually think the rise of Christianity in Africa was basically born. So, you know, with digs like this, we always want to find out more in terms of, who are the key players, what texts, you know, how do you link it to our history, for example. And these are just the new discoveries that have come up this year.
I've got a thing where I'd like to watch Airbus A380s and the big planes actually land, and there is a YouTube channel called Just Planes, and I was watching the one, and I actually flew over, and the pilot had asked permission to fly over this new museum that they're building out in Cairo, and it seems absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. When I was in Cairo, the thing is that you can walk in the Cairo Museum for a week, and you still haven't seen even probably half of it. It is just so rich in culture and so rich in things that they have in that particular museum. In terms of technology, now you know that I'm always tagging you in terms of technology and things that happen. I'm giving away our secrets over here. But Rwanda seems to stand out in terms of technology on the African continent.
Yes, you know, and the reason why Rwanda does this is because Rwanda has placed itself because they know they do not have commodities. You know, they don't have gold, they don't have minerals, they don't mine. But what they do have is human capital, and that's where they really shine. You know, they in terms of being progressive technology-wise, they've got the first drone port in the world. So Rwanda is now training people in terms of how can you use drones besides for military and surveillance. Their drone port basically transports medical supplies into areas where cars can't reach, you know, where it's so rural, it just would take too long to get to that position. And they have this drone port that does this. So they are flying drones, training people from other parts of the world because they're the only ones that have this technology. And we found this trickling down to countries like Malawi as well, who've adopted the same zipline technology. And we're finding in Uganda as well, they're using the same. In terms of other things that they're doing, you tag me in a post where they use seawater and, you know, they're converting that into drinkable water.
Yes.
These are the things we should be doing. They are one of the first countries. I think next year is the year where all their motorbikes are now electric.
Wow.
So they have really built green cities, you know, besides being one of the cleanest countries on the continent, they actually want to go green. They're smart cities. And this is, as I say, because they have human capital. They know how we need to now position ourselves as a country that you need to invest in. You're not investing in our minerals, but you're investing in our technology, investing in our human capital. You're investing, you know, in the fact that they want to manufacture. Manufacturing is a very big thing for them. So they are building cities. One of the RDP projects, what you would call RDP in South Africa, is basically a smart city. It's green. It's got the street lights are all solar. You know, they're using heat pumps. So they've basically built a model because they're still a new country. So they have room to play. And I think, you know, they want to see themselves as the Dubai of Africa, you know, where you have room to play. You try something new. You see how it works. You adjust. You refine. And if it does work, then you continue with that plan. And I think this is the advantage of having a new country because you're not bogged down by legacy. So you are more forward-thinking, you more leapfrog other things. But other technologies that we've had was a gentleman in Malawi created a vest that goes on babies in order to detect if they have pneumonia or not. Children are not the easiest patients, you know. So when you have this vest on, it can tell you if the child has pneumonia or not and how to treat it. We are finding more and more doctors, for example. I know doctors in Nigeria who have started stem cell research in terms of getting medication that needs to be tailored to the African population. We also have it here in South Africa as well, you know, where scientists are looking at why do not generic drugs don't work the same way as they should when they now get administered in the African population. And that's because of genetics. We don't have the same genes to the people who are tested in Europe, for example. Yeah. So you now need to start getting into precision medication and finding tailor-made solutions for unique problems.
So, Kasabia, the editor at Africa.com, thank you so much for your time this morning and a happy 2020 to you.
Thank you. Same to you.